Come on, Eric. Touching the mic.
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it
just the body punching? I was hitting with body punching. I heard him actually he was crying in there.
You're saying that Biggs was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely,
time?
Absolutely, but I knew you were talking to taking those punches.
Making woman gestures like,
Good morning, TBV! A special shout out to our in-house producer. Happy birthday to the very own Dollar DiBiase. It's your day, champ. Celebrate. Do your thing. We appreciate all the hard work you do for TBV and keep bringing us that heat, man. That bass be knocking.
What it do, TBV family? This your boy, Dollar. If you want a beat like you heard on the show, hit me up on Instagram at Dollar DiBiase. That's DOLLA_DIBIASE. Let's get it.
Patriot shout out right there for my man, Dollar DiBiase. It's his birthday. Speaking of new Patreons, man, well, he's not new, obviously, been around forever. But Chris Carlson, also been around forever. The host of Rope-A-Dope Radio. He has his own show. Just signed up yesterday, man. We appreciate the love. Good morning, everybody. We are back with another one. And damn, if I ain't got a little, I don't know, twist in my gut, a little nervousness in my hand as my Dominican brethren has to face someone that I was speaking very down about when it came to Ryan fighting him. Or certain people, right? I called them paper mache face and all that goodness. But now that this fight is actually officially set for August 28th, Jorge Linares, Javier Fortuna. Oh, man, I'm asking you who you got because, damn, if I'm not sure, can Fortuna get that definite win? Like, is he getting a definite win? I mean, I'm riding with him. But is he getting a definite win? I don't know. And we don't know. That's what we're here to discuss. So good morning, all. Let me head on out to my co-host, Hey Helen, from around the globe, or this time from around the States. What's going on?
It's me, Mario.
What is up? What is up? Good to be back with everybody. Yo, this is crazy. Like, they listening for real. Because this is like the third fight that we've talked about and kind of just like brought up as a premonition, and then it ended up being a premonition. It happens. I love this fight. I love this fight for a lot of reasons. We talked about this at great length the other day because it's such an interesting matchup. But who wins? I don't know. We're about to find out. Do me, Enrique, what up?
What's up, man?
Yes. Good morning. Good morning, TBV. Jorge versus Javier. Damn, who's
you
coming?
You try to say the last name.
They both coming to fight. Jorge Linares versus Javier Fortuna. They both coming at it. They both coming to fight. I'm excited for it. Same thought, man, I had. Damn, how would he have done against Ryan? Or was Ryan Garcia really not ready? Or is really the beef between Ryan and Oscar, Golden Boy contractual disagreements, is that propaganda just to put more eyes on it? Or to make Jorge look tougher than he really is against Fortuna? Like, what is going on? And then we got my man, I Picks a Win, Mystic Zach, who probably going to pick the winner of this fight, which is I'm curious to find out. Because my man is a quarterback. I went through his IG.
I'm the most brutal and most vicious and most ruthless champion that's ever been. There's no one to stop
him.
No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody like
him.
I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like him. I'm from there.
Good morning, good morning. Tuesday, and we back at it again as usual. I don't know who the heck I pick wins is. Mystic Zach. I like it, though. You know, I'm not much of a gambler, but definitely going to give him the follow on IG, see what's up with that. Jorge Linares versus Javier Fortuna. I mean, we was talking about this. I always feel like we manifest things here on the show. You know what I'm saying? We talked about that, and, you know, Jorge was supposed to be facing Ryan Garcia. You know what's going on over there at the Ryan Garcia side and the money and all that not being right. So this is what's manifested. Javier Fortuna was supposed to, you know, fight Luke Campbell, and, you know, he expressed to us that he definitely felt like they were trying to push him out of the way and maybe allowing Devin Haney to go up there. So Fortuna was eager to get in the ring, and this is signed, right? Signed and sealed, Skip.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
This is officially set. Officially set means it's really, really done. August 28th, the zone is back. For all you unhappy customers, they've unveiled not one fight, but three different fight dates. So they come in with their best thus far. And it's not bad because the next matchup that the zone is going to have is Virgil Ortiz versus Samuel Vargas. It's a fight that was already scheduled before the pandemic, and we're going to be talking about that at 10:45 a.m. If you want to stick around, subscribe to the YouTube channel, get that notification bell when we go live again. Like Enrique and Doomsday said, we will be having Mystic Zach. He's an 18-year-old alleged prodigy, right? I say alleged because, you know, we're going to test his boxing knowledge. At 18, how good can he be? Must be good, according to Ness's logic, because I love numbers. And his Instagram numbers tell a different story. They tell a story of popularity, a story of picking it right. And that's why people are following you. So we're going to test that knowledge. We're going to bring him in over here, talk a little bit of boxing. But if you go through his IG, you can see that he's hung out with the who's who of boxing, you know. But I did put a post on patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice. If you want to ask Mystic Zach, Mr. I Pick Wins, any questions, you can do that on patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice.
Yeah, but
go
Ness,
the
clarify act. Prodigy and what? Like a fighter, a promoter?
A prodigy at picking. He has a company.
Picking
like,
wins. All
picking
right,
wins.
Clarify
like,
that.
This is not just a hobby for the kid. Like, he has a company. I mean, if you go through his IG, he's got a vehicle wrapped in everything, clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing interviews with the Sugar Hills of the world. Like, so we're going to test his knowledge. Is it all good publicity? Is it a very good publicist getting him in the right places with the right photo ops? Or does the kid at 18 have knowledge? Now, remember, we had a 12-year-old used to call in here a lot that was damn good. So maybe this kid's been watching boxing with his dad, you know, from the very beginning, and he got that good. And if he is that good, guess what? I want some tips because I want to pick it right, and I want to win. I want to make some money. He picks wins, right? Well, bring me in, you know what I mean? But, yeah, that's our first guest, 9:30 a.m. You want to ask him a question, head on over to patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice. Before we get into this matchup and everything about the matchup, can we just go around the table? Who feels Ryan ducked now that Javier, who is not considered an elite, stepped up to the plate? Obviously, Linares is still fighting. The fight was supposed to be Linares and Ryan. And I'm saying obviously, but that doesn't mean that there was a duck there. I'm just saying, you know, people are so quick to call other fighters duck. I wonder what's going to happen here. Linares was the B side. And if Linares is the B side, that makes Javier like the C side. Ryan, the A side, is not in this equation for whatever reason.
Right. I'll go first, right? First thoughts when I heard the Ryan Garcia fight versus Linares, my thoughts were like, damn, really? I don't know. It was a night that both of them fought, and Linares just beat somebody by a KO who probably was nobody. I'm sorry, I don't got the name in front of me. But I was like, I don't know. We want Ryan to get a name off of him. So was the word on the street that Jorge Linares wouldn't put hands on Ryan Garcia, or was it the opposite, that Ryan Garcia will walk right through him?
Well, according to Ness, he's saying that Ryan would have put the paws on him.
And walked right through him, right? So now, this to me, what makes this interesting right now is the whole, you know, it's like they call it telenovela, right? The soap opera behind the scenes of
boxing. Yeah.
So to me, it's like he say, she say, so Ryan and Oscar and the Golden Boy, you know, drama, and then Oscar tweeting, yo, here's the real champ, Jorge Linares. I don't know if that's a show for us. To be like, yo, Jorge Linares is going to fight the rugged Javier Fortuna, the rugged one that went through it with Robert Easter, the rugged one who went through it with, who else did he go through it with? There's another name that I was like.
Javier Fortuna?
Yeah.
Robert Easter Jr. and Adrian Granados, maybe?
Yeah, and Adrian Granados. He didn't fight Crawford, right? No, that was somebody
else. Nah. He fought Omar Douglas, I think.
Right. So. But anyway, in any event, I learned about him through Robert Easter, and then saying now that these two fight Jorge Linares, maybe, and this is you, me saying off the bat who I got, maybe Jorge Linares looks amazing against Javier Fortuna, and now the fight against Ryan Garcia is even bigger. So those are my thoughts.
So wait, but what happens if Javier Fortuna beats Linares? Is Javier Fortuna going to be up next to fight Ryan Garcia? Who are they chasing?
I don't know. Then we probably see another duck season occur because Shakur, right? Wanted, you know, there's these whole mixed names, right? There's like the Shakur Stevenson. Javier Fortuna wanted another route. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I going
the
right direction?
But I don't know. Like, I hear what you're saying, and I get it because Doomy asked the question. But I think Ness is right. We got to look at this right now. The optics. What does it look like? And I'm sorry, bro, but it looks like homie ducked. That's it to me. Like, those are the optics. Like, here's the thing. We always
That's
have
one
this
side.
Conversation,
That's one
right?
Side of
it's
that.
One side. No, of course. But I'm just saying, like, it's easy to get there. You know, I don't have to paint a picture for you. It's right there. Like, people are going to look at this and say he ducked. But the problem is, like, can you duck without being scared, without fearing that loss? Because that's the problem with this is I don't know if it's a duck truly because you got to have that fear. I think part of it is that. Now, some people say, no, that's not what it's about. But to me, it's like, I don't know. Like, there's no other reason to duck. It's like, are you making career moves? Like, are you making the best decisions? Or are you ducking? Like, that's the question, right? And in this case, it's like they offered him two fights, and the two dudes that were offered the fights are now fighting each other. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the oldest adage in boxing. We've seen this a million times, and every single time, for the most part, I mean, some people get serious injuries, some people, you know, whatever, take time out, whatever. But in this case, that's not what it is. It's just he didn't fight him, and now these two are stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, I just – all the stories behind Ryan Garcia and Oscar De La Hoya and back and forth about who's the real champ and throwing the name Jorge Linares in the mix as the real champ. Like, that's who he stands behind. I think there's a storyline being built and a narrative, as we like to say, again.
You mean, you
and still working for Ryan Garcia.
Say that again.
You think it's a duck?
For who?
For Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, for Ryan Garcia, what, not taking the fight and letting Jorge Linares and the Fortuna fight?
Yeah, that's the plan.
I mean, look, man, the thing is that if you dig deep into it and you want to, like, talk about, like, you know, like conspiracy theories sort of and, like, Oscar De La Hoya just planning this whole thing and now allowing, you know, saying that, you know, the money's wrong, great excuse for him to dodge right now. Allowing Jorge Linares and Alabejón to duke it out, and then maybe he can take on the winner. I mean, who's to say it couldn't happen like that, and who's to say that that's just a thought, you know?
It has to happen that way, and there's no other way. And you could call him a duck. That's what makes him more attractive.
At the end of the day, he ain't fight. You're not fighting.
He didn't fight.
You ain't fight the guy.
But at the end of the day, Oscar De La Hoya to sign him. I don't believe their relationship is what is actually said to be. They're closer than we think. Same thing with Freak. Maybe Canelo might be a little different, but Ryan right now, or maybe, I don't know. You know what? Now that I threw Canelo's name out there, maybe Canelo and Ryan are closer and there's something that we're not really, really being told. And perhaps there is a duck in the world.
All right, so moving on to the matchup. Which is, you know, for me, you know, I'm in the rock and a hard place, right? I talk a lot of crap about Linares, but I'm not 1,000% sure that Javier could beat him. But I've sat here quietly listening to you guys, and I've decided to tell myself that it's okay if he can't beat him, because we've never considered Javier to be Fortuna, Danavin Haney, Teofimo Lopez, and Ryan Garcia. And that's why I said Ryan, with his abilities, his technical skill, his trainer, because Javier's not even with Hector Bermudez anymore. He's in Puerto Rico training, what you called his compatriot or whatever. You know what I mean? That was brand new to us. So he left a world-class trainer. That being said, I'm still picking him because I think that he has pop, and Linares can't take the pop. But this isn't Ryan Garcia versus Linares. This is a tougher fight for Javier because this is a skilled guy, but I just don't think Linares is durable. If Javier doesn't go in there trying to box Linares and instead throws caution to the wind, bulldoze him, bullies him, push him on the rope, you know, he got to fight like he fought Yandel Evans. Javier knocked out Yandel Evans, and that's how he's got to fight.
At this point, who do you consider a better fighter in your eyes at this point in their careers, Ryan or Alabejón?
I think that Ryan or Alabejón. Ryan has the potential and the ceiling, the higher ceiling, but we don't know. We don't know. Alabejón is tested. But he's also hasn't beaten the Robert Easter. Like, he hasn't got, like, Linares will be Javier's biggest win, isn't it? Because he beat Cuellar, which is a former champ, I think. But, you know, that Linares would be his biggest win. But again, no one is considering Javier on the level of Devin Haney, Teofimo, and Ryan. And it's okay for Javier to be the underdog in this fight, but I think he's an underdog that he's probably going to win.
Well, the WBC must think highly of both of them because they've placed the WBC Diamond Lightweight Championship on the line. And just a few more details. It is at the Fantasy Springs Resort Casino on August 28th, which is a Friday, and it will be streamed live on DAZN. The one quote I do want to read from De La Hoya, he said, He said, Linares' legacy as a future Hall of Famer is etched in stone. During his time with us, he has conquered three divisions and traveled all over the world as he demonstrated his courage as a fighter. But make no mistake, Linares is not done yet. On August 28th, he's in for a tough fight against a man who is as quick-handed as he is, so expect both men to bring a lot of firepower. That is, to me, the part that it's like two things there. One, Hall of Famer etched in stone.
Yeah, I mean, but why not?
I don't know, bro. Like,
I mean, listen. The way that things change now, things change for the Hall of Fame, and more people are getting in. And if he doesn't get in now, you got to remember, they keep, as long as writers keep trying.
Yeah, you don't have to be a first ballot.
Yeah, as long as they keep trying, you keep eventually. Like, if Mario, for instance, always brags about Linares, so he could become a bigger writer than he is now and continuously vote for Linares, and then somehow his, you know, other, you know, colleagues be like, you know what, Mario, I see your point. And they start voting for that, and he finally gets in 20 years from now.
That's a good point.
But let's talk about the Diamond Belt. And my belief is that the Diamond Belt is there because they had gave Javier an eliminator with Luke Campbell, which meant he was going to get Devin Haney. And before they did that, he was supposed to fight Devin Haney. And then Devin Haney got injured. So that's why they made the Campbell fight. So I think Samson was able to put a diamond on it because the diamond can always ask for the right to fight the champion. But we see that Callum Smith hasn't really gotten the right to fight Benavidez, even though at the convention they did call it. And sometime in 2021, Callum will be able to fight Benavidez. Right now, Benavidez has that mandatory with Eardom placed on him by the WBC. But in essence, that's how the diamond should work. Plus, it could also be that Linares was always the diamond. Think about it. When Linares was the WBC champion, he vacated it. Zlatan Cannon fought somebody for a vacant WBC. Then Mikey beat him for that 35-pound WBC. Linares had diamond, went on to win the WBA from Corolla and fight him twice. you know, but he lost. So I don't know what happens to that diamond. He lost to Vasil. So did he lose his diamond, and is he just being reconsidered, or was this because of all the favors that were promised to Fortuna? You know what I mean?
I want to express something. I'm going to have a question, right? First, I want to say that when I read the press release, right, the newsletter and the word, the words WBC diamond title, I was like, ooh, this is a fight of the year to me. Not remembering that, you know, Fury and Wilder happened earlier. Saying, wow, this is a fight of the year. And the Hall of Famer and those words and the two names that are facing each other. I was like, wow, this is a tough-ass fight. So I was already bought. I already bought the fight in my head. Like, ooh, this is a good-ass fight, right? Boom. Yeah. But now, if one of them, when they win and the title is the winner becomes titled the WBC diamond holder, right? Does Ryan Garcia then fight and win the diamond belt? Does he become a diamond winner?
I mean, if he faces him and that's what they're fighting,
yeah,
I guess.
Like, does that work that way? Because you barely hear the WBC diamond.
I mean, all these belts just started coming along in the last, what, 5 years? These diamond
belts.
Well,
I heard WBC, first out of the diamond was what Floyd Mayweather.
Listen, the WBC is, this is their definition of the diamond belt, which is an honorary championship given to the winner of a historic fight. Remember, they just gave one to Mikey versus Jesse.
So this is historic, huh?
No, this is just like diamond belt is another Muhammad Ali trophy, but because you're paying a sanctioning fee, you can, like Callum, ask to fight the mandatory, the champion in Callum. It's already on paper that Callum gets to fight him. Now, the only thing that pushes that back is the pandemic.
And that's a final eliminator?
No, it's for the W. It's a belt. It's a belt, but it's not a belt. Like, and this is the problem with boxing, right? Like, they issue these unsanctimonious titles for no reason at times. But in this case, it's like, yo, I got to feel like they kind of deserve it. Like, both of them were supposed to get these shots, and they're not getting a shot. Now you put a situation where, I mean, you can call it whatever you want, the number one contender belt. You know, people call it the Galactic. It's like a joke. But whatever you want to call it, like, it's still the end result. You know what I'm saying? So it's like something for them. It's not something that's going to be, like, remembered. Nobody's going to be like, yo, you remember on August 28th, like 10 years ago, when so-and-so won the diamond belt. But at the same time, it is something that could lead to something else. You know, Fortuna wins, maybe he gets another shot.
Fortuna wins, gets another shot at who? What do you mean?
Like, gets his shot at the actual belt.
Oh, he doesn't win the belt if that's not a belt?
It's not. It's the WBC diamond belt. Like, you got to remember, Devin Haney's the champion and Lomachenko's the franchise champion.
It's not a champion belt. It's like a positioning belt.
Exactly. Yeah. But they call it the diamond title. Yeah. It gives you a certain... Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Honestly, this is poor representation to an extent because, again, he will be able to demand the shot the way that Callum did. Because Callum received a historic belt for winning the Muhammad Ali trophy, which last year at the convention, his team said, yo, we want to fight Benavidez. They said, all right, let Benavidez do Yeardom, and then you'll get your shot in 2021. It's on a WBC ruling.
I hear you, but remember, we have the rankings on theboxingvoice.com. If you want to go to theboxingvoice.com/rankings, you can see every single organizational belt and the ring all lined up.
Except for the coveted IBO, man.
Yeah, no IBO, but you got the four major titles. And so the only point I'm making is that whoever wins between Liniadas and Fortuna is still not going to end up on our rankings like that. It's still going to be number one, Javier Fortuna, or if he wins, obviously. And Liniadas, you know, he's number four right now. I don't think that, you know, we're not going to adjust it to make sure that we make it clear that one of them's the diamond champion.
And this is why I think it's slightly poor representation. Like, this should have been for the mandatory eliminator interim title to the interim title that Haney has, because Javier's already the number one fighting the number four. Yeah, that's crazy. He's fighting the number four. So now, hypothetically, if Eddie could get Luke Campbell a shot at Devin Haney as a voluntary, and Devin Haney says, yeah, I'll take that over Javier because Luke Campbell's a UK dude. I get more international exposure. And this is all assuming that fights are back to normal and you can take advantage of the UK public. You know what I mean? If not, was it worth Haney not fighting Javier to fight Luke Campbell during this pandemic? Is he going to get more shine for fighting a dude from the UK that he can't really capitalize on his audience?
Yeah, pandemic definitely turns a curveball on that.
It's a fair question. You know, I'll say this. Look, going back to the whole Ryan ducking, you know, looking at the rankings, you know, Ryan's at number three. If he were to have fought four Linares, you know, essentially he's fighting the guy right below him, right? But Javier Fortuna at number one, he beats him. The only place up after that is Devin Haney. So maybe he wasn't ducking Fortuna. Maybe he was ducking the champ. Maybe he's just not ready for that Haney smoke.
Yo, Ryan.
Listen, Ryan definitely, he's wilding because being Mexican, being signed to Golden Boy, the relationship Suleiman has with Golden Boy / Canelo, Ryan, right? Ryan's won almost every WBC youth title, all of them. You see, he just won another one in his last fight. They could have easily contested for this to be the eliminator fight. You know, even though Linares is number four and Javier, who is relatively unknown, is number one. The fact that it's a Latin sanction embodied with two Latin, they would have ate it up. They would have absolutely approved it. Absolutely. Linares, when you would have questioned Mauricio for making the decision, no, Nestor, listen. Absolutely. Linares is a three-division world champion. He's contested for all the he's been a WBC champion for many, many years. It's the same crap he told me about other people, you know what I mean, and how to justify it. But the fact that it's two Latin big names, he probably would have jumped all over. It would have been a freaking eliminator, and Ryan didn't take it. I read something this morning about his Steve Kim did an article on ESPN, and he's talking about Ryan's manager, something like Guadalupe, some dude named like that.
Oh, I saw that.
Something like
that. I didn't read it, but I saw that article.
My man's still saying they didn't give us enough money. Like, yo, champ, you about to make this poor kid's career get like idle, you know, like the worst thing you can do to a boxer is shelf him. You know what I mean? Because people forget. Mm. Mikey, I can't lie. Yeah. He survived from a 2-year shelfing, but that was self quarantining. You know what I mean? He wanted out of that top brand contract. And maybe Ryan is doing the same.
Maybe Ryan is doing the same. Yo, after you spilled all the beans and everything, I'm starting to consider like, yo, I think Ryan is ducking. You know, because, look, yeah, he's number three fighting the number four, but it's Jorge Linares, right? Not as rugged as Fortuna, as I know Fortuna being, but still a win with a nice, decent name and a good fight probably. And now he has to fight a Fortuna or whoever defeated Fortuna. So I don't see him why he's not in the mix. So what's the problem for real, Oscar De La Hoya? Are you really not getting along?
Bro, you seen him with the post? Virgil Ortiz is champ.
Yo, and don't forget, even Tananara, who just beat up as an underdog. I mean, Mario called it. I should have bet. I feel bad. But he beat somebody up. I can't remember. He just won an interim title. He had signed the contract to fight Ryan. He came out publicly like, yo, don't get scared. Let's fight. Like, Ryan don't want to fight nobody. He don't want to fight nobody. They've offered him Linares, Javier, Haney, freaking Tanahara. Like, you know, what's going on, man? Like, we're talking more about Ryan at this level, bro. He's not Demetrius Andrade and Canelo Alvarez or Jamal Charlo. He's not a two-division world champ. He's not a champ yet. And every time we talk about Ryan, we're talking about failed negotiations, man. Them followers done got to his head, and I get it. He's trying to capitalize on his hard work because, listen, I don't got them followers. I wish we did. We would be big, right? But he's wowing. Like, you fighters fight. Fighters fight. You know, you got to start fighting just a little bit.
My man fought Francisco Fonseca. That's not good.
That is decent only because Gervonta Tank Davis who's been making two, five, 10 times the amount of money Ryan been making for X amount of years, beat him up. He's not famous for being a fighter. He's famous for getting beat up to a more popular fighter than Ryan. That's right. All. And Ryan's only one up, or his comeback to me would be, I knocked him out faster. Well, you didn't get the version that Tank got. You got the version that Tank gave you.
Right, afterwards.
Damn. That's real talk.
Wow. Damn, man. So, yeah, Ryan's ducking, man. Thanks for the clarity. The diamond belt is on the line.
That's right. Shout out to the chat, Lawrence. They offered Masito Gusta to fight. The kid don't want to fight.
Damn.
The kid want to fight. I'm sorry. I'm not calling him a duck. He got poor representation. That's the key word of today. Poor representation. Someone is in his head. He's holding out. And that's okay because this is a little bit of time. It's a pandemic anyway. So any good manager would say, so what? So what? What's 3 months? You know what I mean? You just got paid $250, but you bought a Ferrari. I mean, but he's an Abercrombie and Fitch model. So who knows, you know, how much residual he's getting from Gap and all that.
Right.
But listen, man, final thoughts. I'm riding with Fortuna early. Hopefully he looks good. He's in Puerto Rico. He sounded good on the interview that we did. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's on podcasts everywhere, on Patreon, all over the world. Yeah, I'm going to ride with my brethren, which you know I normally don't.
This is dangerous right here, man.
I normally don't. I rarely ride with the Dominican, but I think that Linares is paper mache face.
He'll be the first 3-time champ, Dominican champ, if he beats Linares, I think.
How the hell could he be a 3-time champ? He's only been like interim champs. I don't think has he ever been a full champ?
Counting it as a world championship according to Golden Boy's press release.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up, but I didn't want to hate.
No, I mean, listen. It's a good point, Doomy. And with all these titles, I just want to bring it up. And another thing I want to bring up before we call it a wrap up on this is like, you know, Jorge Linares still has to travel. We still got COVID happening. You know, this fight to me is risky business.
But travel from where? From where?
Is he not in Japan or is he here already?
He's in Japan.
Is he still? I don't think so because this fight is scheduled.
I saw he was in Japan. That was like a week ago.
This fight is scheduled for August 20th. I guess that's enough time.
Plenty of time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look. And
traveling and all that other stuff.
Bro, they wouldn't make the fight if they can't get him here. Dana White said he was going to get people and fly on a private island.
Absolutely. No, listen, I'm not saying that he can't get him here. I'm saying what he has to go through to get here. It's risky business because of the people he might come in contact with, you know, airport people. I don't know. What I'm saying is that the fight's coming from across the globe down here. And just to say that, I'm going with my man Javier Fortuna. I think that Javier's going to overwhelm
him. Yo,
we need to start doing film studies on Javier between here and the 8 weeks, man, because – this is going to be a fight that we could – oh, shit. Oh, yeah, Zach – all right. But anyway, this is going to be a fight we can make some money on.
Right.
Yeah, listen, my final thought real quick is I'm picking Linares, but I wouldn't mind betting if the odds were for Fortuna. That's how close of a fight I think this is. But I do think that Linares wins. And I'll say this, final thoughts on Ryan. It's not – you don't get as much scrutiny to be called a duck when you don't talk the way that Ryan talks. So I think we should keep that in mind, that a lot of this has to do with how greasy he talks. You know what I'm saying? So we expect more.
Real quick, super chats. I don't think we read any of them. It's Teddy B Midwest Sports Talk says, Yandale from my hood, shaking my head. Don't bring up our guy.
Who?
Yandale.
Oh, Yandel. Yeah, because, you know, Yandel was a guy that had so much talent. He's from Ohio. Ohio usually breeds very, very good boxers. And, you know, he didn't make it. Remember, I picked Yandel against Machado. I thought he was going to bounce back, and Machado slept him, too. It's starting to look like he might not have a chin. Listen, Fortuna put him nighty-night-night. You know what I'm saying? But then Machado kind of did too. But that was years later. Like, Fortuna caught him when Friday Night Fights on ESPN still existed. You know what I mean? We need to watch Fortuna because he's this. He's not consistent, man. Like, he didn't knock out Sharif Bogaray, but no one did. But you would want the guy that you're talking and riding for to knock out a Sharif Bogaray, even though he's never been knocked out.
Yeah, he's a tough out just because he's so awkward. Sharif, I mean
yeah, no, I get you, man. But I'm looking at Javier's resume, and I'm like, damn, son, like, really? You ain't get that one? You know what I'm saying? Like, look, he knocked out Cuellar. That's good. I was sad.
That's a good knock.
I was sad he didn't knock out Bogaray. We know he got injured somehow in that Granados fight, but people feel like he looked for a way out, right? We need to film study this, man. This might be a very close fight.
That's fine, too, but look.
Ooh, cut him off.
My final choice.
Shinobi.
He got knocked out, too, by Jason Sosa, Puerto Rico.
Who got knocked out?
I thought you wanted final thoughts. Go ahead.
I'll give it my final
exactly.
Thought. I'm basing my more technical, my more controlled fighter against the two, which is Javier Fortuna, kind of is a little bit too wild, right? And Jorge fought, and I was there to witness it in the big room, and this is why I ride with him and knock down.
What you mean the big room?
Vasily Lomachenko in Madison Square Garden.
What you mean the big room?
The big room. You fight
no, at MGM.
Oh, at the Garden?
Yeah, the Garden.
Oh, Eddie's Garden?
No, the Mecca of boxing.
Frazier.
MSG, also known as Madison Square Garden.
For sure.
In New York City.
A super chat, too. Let me just read that. How much did GD make against Fortuna compared to RG?
Yeah, you know that information ain't out there yet, but Fight Week it'll probably drop. You know what I mean? They'll give you, commission purses.
Francisco with a super chat says, "Vamos Fortuna para la patria."
I mean, we could always go for la patria. I'm just going to pick them like I see it, man. My man's a little more organized. Even though that's called Jorge Linares.
He is. Technically, he's more sound than Javier. We know that.
So he may control that whole shit with the jab and the pivots and all that, where Javier going to be rushing and swinging wild, you know? We've seen that against Robert Easter. We've seen it against Granados. I think, wasn't Granados a no contest or something? Nah, no one remember that?
Yo, do you think they're trying to make Linares look, but you know they really confident that
I said
be
that
Javier.
In the beginning.
I mean, and then to make the Ryan Linares fight.
I said
better,
that in the beginning.
I don't know
man.
About confidence. I don't know
that's
about
the novella.
I don't know about confidence, man. Yo, Linares is then they got the wrong Linares on BoxRec. You seen that?
I know.
The
4-4 loser.
That's how much of I'm telling you. You see, even BoxRec, let's go, Javier. Even BoxRec linked them to a 4-4 Javier. Like, I mean, a 4-4 Linares.
Yeah, dang. Nah, but look, like Doomy was saying, do you
that's
think?
Crazy.
Yeah, probably is. Because I that's the optic I went to, you know? Mario alluded the optic of a duck. I went like, well, maybe it's a soap opera. I can't see, Oscar De La Hoya not like ruining a relationship with Ryan Garcia.
Bruh, my man only lost by knockout, bruh. I mean, I don't know. Listen, Javier, is he better than Pablo Cesar Cano? Yes. But is he as relentless as Pablo Cesar Cano? No. Javier, is he better than Vasil? No. But I think he hits harder than Vasil. You know?
I think so.
I think Vasil
Vasil
places punches obviously better, but I think Javier might have more pop than Vasil. Is Javier better than Sergio Thompson, the Mexican, cab driver that they found to give Linares a tune up? I'ma say yeah. Sergio, I think he went ahead and retired after that, you know what I'm saying? he had two more losses after that and then retired. So, yeah, he retired back in 2016. So, I'm going to say, yeah, Javier is better than Sergio. And is Javier better than Antonio DeMarco, who probably was 135-pound champ? Maybe. Maybe when Broner fought him, I think maybe DeMarco was a champ. and Broner beat the that was Broner's best fight, man. Like, you wanna remember Broner in his true glory, you go watch Adrian Broner versus DeMarco. He destroyed DeMarco. He made it look horrible. He took the O from DeMarco. There was a WBC title on the line. I just don't know. It looks like it was DeMarco's. It looks like it was DeMarco. He knocked out. That's when he knocked out John Molina in one round. That was a fake knockout, too. I feel like Molina just put his butt on the ropes. The ref waved it off. You know, listen, when the network is hyping, they hyping, man. You got to be careful as a fighter. That being said, I don't know. I'm still riding with Fortuna, man. He's better than some of these dudes that beat beat Linares. And if he's not better, he at least hits harder than some of these
gritty
dudes. And look, this dude Linares went 12 with Gesta, 12 with Corolla twice, 12 with Campbell. Yo, he goes 12 with so many people. He's 34 years old. He's fought like 50-something times. My man is old already. Like, Javier better get this win. He better get this win. That's all I'm saying, man. Let's go to the callers. Sponsors. Any final thoughts? That was my final thoughts. Y'all did.
Yeah, man. Javier's been KO'd before, man.
Yeah. He been KO'd. So, and Linares has been KO'd 5 times. All his losses are by knockout. All 5. Ooh. And guess what?
Okay.
Four out of the 5, he was the favorite, okay? When he lost to DeMarco, he was supposed to win. When he lost to Sergio Thompson, he was supposed to win. When he lost to Pablo Cesar Cano, he was supposed to win. And,
okay.
You know, the only one he wasn't supposed to win was Vasil. Like, we all know that as boxing fans. Like,
damn, so just knowing that, now I kind of like, this is a hard one to pick, though.
It is hard because technically he's good, but this is what I'm saying. His so-called skill that the hardcore bougie boxing fans see still took him 12 with Gesta, a domestic-level fighter. Still took him 12 with Corolla, another domestic-level fighter. Like, my man goes 12 all day. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
He want a box.
Bruh, who's out?
Fortuna coming to fight.
My man went to Japan and got 10 rounds in with some dude we never heard of called Altongongong.
Altongongong.
Yeah.
That's his honest try at the name.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, bruh. Like, who is out? Except
yo, what
name
is El Abejón? What's an Abejón?
Yo, the bee.
The big bee.
The bee, bruh.
Killer bee.
You make me kill a bee on you? Wu-Tang style?
Oh, it ain't an avispa.
Un avispa, bro.
It's
bee.
A bee.
Killer bee. Yeah.
I never heard Abejón.
Dog. Because there's originality.
Un abeja. La abeja.
You know abeja. I heard abeja.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
El Abejón is like the main killer bee. The main one.
The main one, dog.
The one you're slapping
down.
Around.
Coming down on you. Coming down. Here I come. Nah, let me stop.
El Abejón.
Let's go out to the sponsors, man. That's what I said, Rob. He went 24 rounds with Corolla. Corolla, bruh, I know people love Corolla because, you know, everybody loves a Gotti War type of dude that goes in there, you fight, you give the crowd a good fight. But, like, come on, man. Yo, my man be wilding, bruh. Like, if Abejón don't beat him, he's stuck on, like, CD level. Like, he needs to beat Linares to solidify B+, A- level. You know what I mean? You got to be able to beat Linares if you want to be talked about with beating a Haney or a Teofimo. Like, you can't beat 34-year-old Linares who has why I can't find a round
five.
Box. How many rounds he got it? 3. Lord that
320.
Listen to me. Listen to me. It's going to be very difficult for you to find a dude with this name value that has that many rounds. You understand what I'm saying? A dude who's a 3 world champion that has that many rounds. I bet you Mikey don't, Broner don't, Floyd don't, Pacquiao don't. Pacquiao might because he got 80 fights. Yo, Linares is wilding. He been going 12 all his life.
Yeah, that's what I was about to tell you.
320 rounds box, bro.
Oh my God.
That's mad rounds. Yeah.
I'm telling you, bro, he's a workman. Hey, yo, real quick, shout out to Idris. Yo, if y'all ain't seen the Patreon post, Go check it out. Welcome home, champ.
Wait a minute. Idris has signed?
Yo, it was the biggest. It was the biggest signing day in Battle
Bar. Hey, yo, UK, yo, hey, yo, J&J, I lost a good one, but, hey, yo, get over here to the witness.
I mean, like all good representation, you know, I understood that the public was clamoring for some rematches. And I said, look, man, rather than wait around for people to do what they can't do, let me just make sure that I could get Idris a rematch with Amin. You know what I mean? I could get Amin a shot at Doomy or Mario the way he has been wanting. I could, you know, give Doomy that rematch with Idris. It's just so many things you can do. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm a cut the beat. You know, every time we sign somebody, I'm like, come home with me. Remember that Cam and MJ? So we gonna play that. And, you know, we're going to make sure our guys get shine the way they should. You know, press releases being rolled out. We scheduling interviews the way the Border Wars used to do, one-on-ones. You know what I mean? We just rolling out the red carpet the way that real representation should do. But if you don't know what we're talking about and this seems foreign to you, join us Saturday morning, 10 a.m., for another episode of Boxing Bars. I think we're going on episode 8. You looking at Money Mae Munguia, the defending champ, Doomy, the undefeated annihilator, and we got a stable of nothing but hungry wolves. King Amin from Essex, Idris from the UK, and Stainless from the Detroit. I mean, we might as well be.
Man, that's
like
a killer team.
Enrique.
Bro, you can't forget Enrique. Cash.
Can't forget Legendary
Baby. You know
what
I mean? Legendary Baby. He sprinkles it on top with the Chris Brown gold hair and is on. But look, sponsors real quick. We're going to go out to them and get this thing started. We didn't go to them yet, right? We kept mumbling and talking.
Yeah. Right.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at ElCaminoElectricalServices.com.
All right. You know the number to call in, 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time. Voice your opinion right here on the Voice of the People hotline. Don't forget to add Nesta Gibbs on Skype to be part of the conversation. Let me head on out to King Born in Brooklyn. Good morning.
Yo, hey, yo, peace.
Zoo, shame on you when you
Brooklyn Zoo. Zoo. You already know. Yeah. Hey, yo, peace. Listen,
look,
this is how we doing
excited,
it, right?
Man.
Yo, you already know what it was. Everybody out, every piece of the TBV family, shout out to everybody. Everybody got kids, right? You remember kindergarten and pre-K when your little son or daughter would make the papier-mâché? You know what I mean? We make the papier-mâché like animals and stuff like that. Now, you rip up the paper, you put the water, boom, you stick it. Now, the only thing with papier-mâché is hard. Once you hit it, it's going to crack. Tell you right now, it's a 50-50 fight. I like the wild style, but if you come in and swing it like Javier Vortona, you're going to get clipped. And we know Jorge can hit because he put Lomo on his behind. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a 50-50 fight. It's a pick'em. Now, Lenora is coming from Japan. Javier from Dominicano. He close to the U.S. He probably training in Miami. It's a toss-up. Whoever wake up nice, that's how it's going down. Peace.
Yeah, he's training in PR, so like he's right there. It's true. He in the heat. I don't know what the climate is in Japan, but yeah, that's what concerned me, traveling all the way from over there over here. You know, the acclimation and all that.
It was weird how in the press release they like made it a point to say something about the heat. They were like, in what's expected to be the hottest summer ever. I thought I was watching a movie.
Is it an outdoor event or something? They put so much
Fantasy Springs.
It's in Indio, California, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to
it's
find
Fantasy
out.
Spring. But yeah, I don't know what, but you saw that, right?
Yeah, it's like, that's am weird. I fighting outside?
I know. The hot, this is like global
but
warming
is,
propaganda.
Is your AC down? Like, what the hell?
can't sit on some ice chips?
Chill, cheesy.
All right, let me go out to Brandon, Cincinnati.
What's going on, fellas? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Cheese. Yeah, this is a 50-50 fight. Linares is the technically better fighter. He's a lot better. He's, you know, I like watching him more because where tuna fights can be kind of sloppy. Like that Bulgar Ray fight was boring as hell. It was sloppy. So on paper, you would think Linares should win because he's more talented, but he's lost to people who's left. Shit, everybody's pretty much lost to except for Lomachenko. He was more talented then, so you can never add that in with Linares, you know? So, oh no, man. It's a 50-50 fight. I just got a feeling Javier Fortuna is going to throw some wild stuff and land something that could probably knock Linares out. Then again, I strongly doubt if Fortuna is doing any real training. The guy came in and state a couple times. Remember, he missed weight against Robert Easter at 135 and couldn't even fight for the title that night. So with this quarantine and stuff, I got a feeling dude's probably chilling somewhere, chopping up bricks. I don't know what he's doing, man. So I'm going to go in and say right now I'm going to edge it to Linares, but it is a 50-50 fight. But that's my call.
That's a good point. I forgot about that. I mean, I didn't forget about it, but I forgot to bring it up. The Fortuna missing weight against Robert Easter.
I mean, true, but that was
part of the interview.
A while ago.
And true. And during the interview, he said that this new trainer has been able to get that on track for him, remember?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago, like Doomy said.
He didn't seem like he was worried at all about weight.
Definitely.
I just hope he ain't playing. You know, I don't trust Dominicans in their training. I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah, a lot of fighters is coming out of DR, man, and some of them are, you know, expected to do very well. You got a champ, man. So you got to start believing in him. Well, I believe him when he says that he's good, that his coach has all his stuff, you know, in line, and that he knows his body. They know how to get this. So, I mean, look, they were expecting a fight. They got a fight. So they're going to get ready.
Well, let's get out to Caesar in Las Vegas. Caesar.
Let me know if it's too much background noise.
Nah, you good. You just sound a little far.
It's actually a pretty good fight in my opinion. They don't look good for Ryan right now. I got a buddy that's like a real, real big Ryan Garcia fanboy. And I keep on trying to tell him, but, you know, he believes in we're arguing about the financials, right? And he told me that he Googled it, that Ryan Garcia's net worth is $10 million. So $10 million, and he's not even making close to that in boxing. You can only imagine what kind of deals he's got outside the sport. Maybe that's why he's not too worried about taking the money that he's asking for or turning down fights, because he's already got you know, money coming in, you know, and other things. But that's pretty much all I got on that, man. Great show, guys. TV for life.
True.
Yeah,
true,
I feel
man.
You
he's
that.
Making a lot of money. He can say no. I guess that. I could agree with him as a person. Like, you know, if I was his friend, I'd be like, you know what, man, if they ain't giving me what you want, you ain't really stressing. So it is what it is. But, like, at the same time, I'm thinking as a boxing fan, it's like, well, you know, that may be true and all. But, like, as a fighter, like, what are people saying about you? You know,
exactly. Do you because care? You're absolutely right. Because that's the thing. It's like, bro, if you got a manager, right, and he's like your manager because you got other stuff like commercials and movies or whatever, sponsorship deals, he gets a percentage of what you make. It doesn't matter if it's in the ring, out the ring. So it don't matter to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're used to seeing managers of fighters who get paid when the fighters fight, promoters that get paid when the fighters fight, right? And so in this situation, it's like, he might have people like on the outside, like, yo, bro, like, you don't need that. Yeah, take this, like, because they get paid either way.
Yeah,
but
Mario,
what is it doing to his legacy, though?
That's only if Guadalupe doubles as a talent agent manager and a
boxing manager.
Like, you know, okay, Al Heyman has done, you know, a couple of different things. So, yeah, he can do that. We know he's known for putting on concerts for Drake and Jay-Z and Beyonce. But, like, not everyone is a manager jack of all trades, meaning a manager
right.
that could get you on a modeling gig and a manager that could get you an acting gig. And, hey, by the way, I could also get you a major fight. Like, hell no. You got a boxing manager and you got a talent agent manager or, you know, a show manager, whatever you want to call him, a road manager. But I don't think that Guadalupe is out here getting him underwear model ads. I think that's a whole different person, you know, doing that part. But I'm still trying to get our guest on. I'm going to get at him straight up. This is going to be the first thing I say. How you 18 and don't know how to work Skype? But he should be calling in. So that we can still get him on, because, you know, we over here trying to learn how he's so mystic.
Call him Mystic Zach.
Yo,
not to be confused with Mystic
Mac. I think
Mac.
This might be him, because I've never seen this number, and I'm pretty good at numbers.
What is this, Vlog? Oh, you're on Skype, my bad.
Zach, is this mystically you? Guess not. Zach? Zach? No Zach? Knows that. Yo, Flipper. Let's go to Greatness. Send me a message. Izzy, what up?
Hey, what up? What did they say about Ryan Garcia? With the Linares thing, I thought that was the big one coming up.
No, he didn't take the fight. Javier took the fight. This is official. This is done, sealed, delivered. It's ready to go. Rock and roll.
Hey, yeah, well, y'all been doing episodes on Ryan Garcia ducking every week now, so I'll continue with that. man, congratulations to East Coast. Y'all got some heavy hitters over there now, man. What's up with that?
We're waiting for you to come
home. Only thing we need to say to you, sir, is come home with me.
I told you in my bars last week, you're not Al, you're Dana White, man, and that's starting to become true. Jeez, you're gonna get everybody.
I mean, either you want the big league and the big league treatment and the big fights for that matter, or, you know, you want to be on the back call.
You want your managers to be present for your battles? Come sign with us.
You know,
I don't know, man. I'm thinking about
if you're tired of your managers all in your phone calls, super chatting. Not talking about you, super chatting, but not, you know, promoting you. Come on home.
No,
come
man.
On home.
They spent a lot of money, and every time they super chatted, every time they counterpunched, they always had me. My name was always up. So.
Yo, listen, I could buy you out that contract, James Prince style with Floyd Mayweather. Just know that, man. You want out? We got the heavy hitters over here to get you out.
No, they're loyal. I'm loyal. Me, Info Joe. I might have to just come back in and start chipping away at your stable. So
hey,
we'll see.
Yo, who you sparring out there, man? You ain't got nobody to spar with.
Listen, all you got to do is contact me, and we can do Eddie Hearn, Al Heyman, Mikey Garcia deal, baby. One fight deals with the option. You know
that J&J filed bankruptcy. So, you know, just to let you know.
Yeah, we seen that in the Financial Times, right?
Yeah.
We're going out to – I'm not going to go to –
Yo, that was Nelson, by the way,
oh,
that
yeah?
you went to. Yeah.
I should know that with the 849. That is a DR number. I'm wilding
yeah.
right here on my own. Yo, I'm at home. Perdón. Yo, let me go to back to him then. And Keem, send me a message. Greatness, send me a message. Sony, message. All of y'all, man, because a lot of y'all work, and we love it. Use us to get you through your day. We're going out to Nelson. Actually, Nelson has an intro. It's been a minute, Nelson. He coming on out because the Dominicans is here, baby.
Uh-oh.
The Dominicans is here,
La Patria.
Baby. Let me see if I can find. I got to look out the. I got to dust off his old intro. It's been a minute, man. Been a minute. Let me see. Help me with these old eyes.
Help.
Nelson, where are you?
No, this is going to bring the whole DR out. Javier Fortuna's got them all on their back.
Shit. He beat Linares, man. He, you know, that's probably the best name on his resume.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, here we go. Cheers.
Solid E. Bianchi Productions.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm coming.
BoxingWiz.com.
Better not fuck me, son.
BoxingWiz.com.
Yeah.
Ding, fire.
Nelson, what up, champ?
Hey, guys, how you doing? How you doing?
All good. All good. How are you, brother?
So far, so good. Can't complain. Brother, first of all, what I thought was going to happen with Garcia and Linares is just confirmed. I knew Garcia wasn't going to fight Linares. Linares is just too good for him. I don't believe Garcia has any chance against Linares. He's too good. And second of all, many people are saying that Linares is a much superior boxer than Fortuna, but it's not the case, in my opinion. You have to remember that Fortuna, when he's well-trained, he's very explosive, faster, but he's a fast boxer. He has a lot of power and can KO anyone. I think it's a very interesting fight between him and Linares. We have to check it out.
All right. Nah, brother, we're excited. Also, you know I am.
And also, there are a lot of up-and-coming prospects from the R. I don't know if you know about Michela Salsa Rivera and Elvis Rodriguez.
Hell yeah. Elvis fights Thursday. We already had him on the show, so you should be listening to that.
We've had
him on twice already, Elvis fights Thursday and Echeverria. He already fought, but he had a tough fight his last time out. He needs some time off. But we had his trainer on, Herman Salcido. He's out in Florida.
Yeah. I heard Ray Royce on a statement that he said that the last time he was as excited when I left his fighter, he turns to be Pacquiao. So Edmund Rodriguez must be the real deal if he said that. So we have to expect many good things from that guy. And also, Michel Rivera, who is very good, very fundamentally sound, his defense, a little bit of power, too. He's a very good, too.
Yeah, can't forget Jason Rosario. But Nelson, let me get to some other callers. But, yeah, Jason Rosario, obviously, a unified champ. Let me double check these messages. Make sure everything is gravy. Lids low. Talk to us.
Hey, what's happening, TBB? Shout out to Baldy. Oh, everything kosher, man. Shout out to Baldy. I'm gonna say this real quick. I got Fortuna as of now. I just got to do some more research since the pandemic and shit. See how people really been getting down since they've been down. And, then I'll pick again later on. But right now, I'm going to roll with Fortuna. I like him, especially. Didn't he fall out the ring against, who that, Robert Easter?
No, I thought that was Granados, right?
Yeah, that was Granados.
Right. Okay, yeah. So I liked the Fortuna. I always had, even though he a little wild, but I dig him. So I'm going to ride with him for the moment. But I'm going to do my research like I do on every fight. You feel me? If you ain't sure, people, do your research. Shout out to everybody on my detail. Oh, one more thing. Ryan Garcia, I never expected him to fight none of the people he was calling, calling out. So that's whatever with Ryan.
Man, everybody.
All right. We got a couple of people ready. One of our newest signees, we got to schedule him up for a live interview. We haven't come up with our series, We're going to make our own series for our promotional company. What are we going to do? Sit down with a fighter?
Ooh, that's nice. That was off the top? Or is that something old?
Off the top, man.
Damn.
Sign
this guy up.
Gemini season, I'm telling you. But let me go out to one of our newest signees, man, making a huge impact out there in them TBV ball streets.
The king is what I mean.
TBV, good morning.
What it do, champ? Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Donde estoy en la playa? Ever since I've been, signed at East Coast, it's been beautiful, man. Listen, man, Izzy, we could do something for you, man. I'm telling you, I had to talk to Stainless. I told you, so it's looking like a winner's circle. I'm rubbing elbows. I'm spilling champagne. And, you know, it feels good, man. Izzy, man, come on over, man. Yo, Javier Fortuna, didn't we have him on, like, last week, and he was talking cash? Woo! He can't lose now, right?
I hope not. Fingers crossed.
So, listen, him, Younes, Felix Diaz,
Rosario.
Jason Rosario. Listen, man, rally up. Rally up, yo. Get them belts and hold them hostage in the DR, man. You know what I'm saying? Do what y'all doing over there. But seriously, it's a good fight, man. And what does this say about my man? I always compare it to the funny thing, music industry. He can't go do no songs with nobody else, right? He got music he want to release. He can't release it. Why? Because he's in a bad contract. He's in his feelings. Ryan the Stallion, hashtag Ryan the Stallion is a fool. That's my call.
Jumi, what are you implying with this Instagram post? He been new what? He been new Javier or he been new Ryan? Because July 4th was Ryan's date.
Yeah, nah. What I'm saying is, I guess they this fight, I guess, was already, I'm saying, planned. Or they,
what,
or
the Linares Ryan?
No, Javier Fortuna Linares.
But why would you say that when that post doesn't have anything about Fortuna?
Says thinking of you. It says July 4th. Is that July 4th? Is thinking of you, Javier Fortuna. It's a cryptic message. That's what I sent to you.
Yo, wait. Mario, don't jump on it. There's nothing there that says tuna. It just says J4
says
for
J4,
July 4th.
But I think you was like Javier 4.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I sent it to you.
You guys,
you're
the
cipher. Like, let me see if maybe he looked this
up. Doobie's
the king of
this. That's it. I'm getting the soundbite. There's no more we can keep going with doing this without having the X-File soundbite. I'm getting the X-File soundbite.
Talk, though, that was dope. I like that. You put it in
like,
my
what?
Yo, J4 is
J4.
Javier Fortuna. Yo, no. J4 is July 4, thinking of you, J4, July 4. Hey, what if it's double?
Cryptic.
What if it's double, a double-ended message? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Dude, we were so excited.
You guys are like, crazy.
Yo, you're the man, bro. Yo.
Bro, I just had to do it. I had to mention it, man. I was like,
that's
man.
That's what it is, bro.
You're because you know what it is, Mario? Like, he thinks that people's getting a lot of crap right now. He's the ducker. Like, he looks like a duck. So I'm somewhere in the back of my mind thinking, like, maybe this is all being planned in order to just keep, you know, raising his name. They believe strongly that Linares is going to get through Abu Dhabi Hong, and then, you know, that makes the fight so much bigger, you know? So, yeah, that was just me being concerned.
Definitely. I get that, too. That would be making lemonade out of lemons, you know what I mean? Like, the way it looks right now, my man's got lemons, Ryan, right? But if he were to make a fight with the winner, all it would have done was built towards that and look like he sent them to get through each other to get to him. That's a boss move. You know what I'm saying? That's a Floyd Mayweather move. That's like a move that you can't pull unless you're on the top of the totem pole.
Man, that's a duck move. Let the Heat fight each other and I'll get the what's left of the wounded animal.
Yo, but that's the A-side move, though. You can't pretend
man.
Like it's not.
He ain't no A-side, man.
He ain't.
You just
he
put
ain't.
Him
I'm
in
not.
The same category with Floyd. He was like, that's a Mayweather move. Like, dog,
I'm
you
just
ain't
saying,
Mayweather.
It's like a boss move.
He ain't Mayweather. He ain't done nothing.
Ain't.
Nothing
right.
yet. Nothing.
He don't deserve that treatment.
Let me go to Majid in Florida. What up?
What up, man? Everybody need to like the video, subscribe to the channel. To be honest with you, I'm gonna just go with Fortuna, man. I think that he gonna get rough in the middle rounds and catch him with something. You know, I feel like Linares on that second half. You know, he be looking.
Damn, yo, my Skype restarted on him.
Damn, why you hit the record scratch?
We always get a victim. Yo,
nice.
I'm gonna tell you one thing. I love that you got a soundboard, bro. No, because it helps, honestly. Like, those are perfect timing sometimes, and I'm doing other things. Like, right now, I'm trying to upload this X-Files that we got. Because I got I got it. Believe it or not.
Call you, what is it, Mully?
Yes.
Muller and Scully?
Muller and Scully, yeah.
Oh my God! Whatever happened to that show? I think
that was a great show.
I don't see it at all. It was like
they took it off of Netflix. They took it off of Netflix. I had just started it over, and I started showing it to my niece, and then I got in trouble because she started having nightmares.
I honestly never watched.
Yo, that's when the conspiracy really kicks in.
That just sound like you picked that audio out of like a TV with bunny ears.
So you calling my shit staticky?
Bunny ears.
That was super
staticky.
Yo,
I got excited and it was like.
Yo, what a jerk.
Sound like it was coming out of a bowl of oatmeal.
It sounded like a Rice Krispie bowl. Snap, crack, and pop.
Oh, you guys got jokes this morning, eh?
I don't know. Ryan Garcia's, he's going to have to show up pretty soon, man, because he's getting his Abercrombie and Fitch checks. That's cool, bro. But, you know, we want to see you achieve greatness, man. We looking at you like you the next Canelo. That simple as that. You know, let's just put it out.
Not like you the next, but that you could be.
You could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be the next.
You could be. You got the potential. You know, you got the fan base. You got the right trainer. You got the right promoter. You know,
I would say
the
next De La Hoya, though, because Canelo's at the top of the food chain. I don't know if De La Hoya was ever, well... I mean, he like got there, like, because I could see Ryan getting built up really big and then just losing to like a Devin or a Shakur.
All right, we're back. Let me go to Majid. Sorry about that, brother. Obviously, every now and then we got a little Skype restart, but finish up or start up all over again. Apologies.
All right. Yes, sir. I was saying everybody need to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and join Patreon, even if it's $3. I'm going to go with Fortuna. I feel like Linares in the middle rounds. It might get a little dirty, and that's when Fortuna's shot really going to be there. And other than that, with the battle bars, man, I kind of want to hear Mario versus Doomy or whatever. There's an in-house fight. They both got bars, and they know a lot about each other. So I know that would be a good show, man. So that's something that I'm going to keep pushing for 2020, man. Mario versus Doomy. Make it happen. That's
for
all
sure.
I got.
I want that pay-per-view.
For sure. I mean, listen, I gotta, you know, Doomy, he's got big ambitions, but right now he's a 1-0 fighter. You know what I mean? We got to get him the right exposure and prepare him for the situation. We got a Ryan Garcia. We can't rush him into anything, even though he may want to go straight into it like Lomachenko. You know what I mean? Lomo got one fight, and then he fought for a title fight. So that could be Doomy, because that is what East Coast Promotions does.
You know what we
need?
We need somebody to present the odds. Oh, we got Mystic Zach there. He could do odds. What up, my man?
What's up, champ?
Oh, my God. I didn't even know he was on. Mystic Zach, you figured it out. Listen, I was going to say, or I already told my audience, like, we gotta get at this kid. How is he 18 and does not know how to deal with Skype, champ? What happened? How you couldn't get on?
I don't know. I clicked the email link, which I thought would work, and it wasn't letting me get on.
Listen, so I'm super excited to get you on. You know, I've dabbled in a bit of picking fights, but I've kind of backed away. It's like, I don't want to lose any money, but you're 18, and you've made your own company. Just first take us through that. Like, what got you started into picking fights?
What got me started picking fights was I grew up in the boxing business. My dad was in the boxing business growing up. He managed Shannon Briggs, other fighters. He had a boxing gym. I grew up around guys like Emmanuel Stewart. And I always loved boxing since I was a very small kid. I was always going to shows. He had his own boxing gym where guys like Terrence Crawford would come in. So I was always picking fights. I was always watching fights. I was always analyzing because that's what I do when it comes to sports. And I think I first realized I had a talent for picking fights when I was watching Pacquiao versus Mayweather, which is obviously a huge fight with Shannon Briggs and a couple other guys. And I said Mayweather would win by a lopsided unanimous decision. I said he would use the jab, and his feet were too quick for Pacquiao. And then after that fight, everyone was really impressed, and they said, hey, you have a real talent for picking fights. And then when I picked wins came about, I knew I had to start picking some boxing too.
So tell us, we're talking Javier Fortuna. We're going to test that knowledge. We're talking Javier Fortuna, Jorge Linares. That fight is signed, sealed, and officially set for August 28th. What is your, I guess, immediate reaction to that?
Yeah, I haven't. Linares is the guy who knocked down Lomachenko, and then was it the next fight? The fight after he gets knocked out in the first round. That was probably like the most shocking result I've seen in boxing. And but I think I've got Fortuna in that fight.
Hmm. So what like okay, let me ask you. Like right now, I got Linares in that fight, right? But you're saying like everybody's. It's a 50-50 fight almost. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty close to that. So
yeah.
If I were to get the money, even though I'm picking Linares, even though I think he wins this fight, but I'm getting good money on Fortuna, like, is that a good bet? Like, should you never bet on somebody even if you think they're going to win? But, like, if the odds call for it, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're trying to say. And it's a way to say from your – and in boxing, a lot of decisions don't go your way. That's another huge thing. I mean, you can have a guy you think is going to win a close decision, and then the cards come out. You're like, how the heck did they lose by that many points? Doesn't make any sense, really. And, like, I picked Badou Jack over Jean Pascal, and I thought Badou Jack won that fight. I thought it was clear once he got that knockdown. I thought he won 7-5 with the knockdown, you know? And but it doesn't always roll your way in boxing. It's a really tricky sport to predict.
I know we're going to get right into the nitty-gritty. Who'd you pick for Wilder Fury 2?
I picked that one for me.
You picked Fury, but did you pick him by knockout, though?
I thought he would get real rough with him. I thought he would get him inside and really tire him out. I thought maybe a late-round stoppage, but I was thinking more probably a decision.
Okay, because that was a shock for everybody.
Yeah, his right hand. I didn't realize how much power he had in that.
Did you have him in the first fight, too?
Yeah, I did.
And you had him
the first.
And these picks that you're saying, like when you said, oh, I had this one or I picked this one, it's on your website. This is, the, you know, something that's at least on record on your where could people find you other than Instagram? I know you got a 200,000+ followers there.
You can find me at ipickwins.com too. But all my picks are documented. They're all on at ipickwins on Instagram. I started making my picks public in 2019, so last year. So all my boxing picks are up on there. And I have, like, on my website, you'll see, like, my historic picks, and I have some boxing picks in there. And it just shows, like, the history of my picks and, like, all my ones I've made in the past and things like that. And, yeah, they're all documented. I try to pick only 100% winners, which is really hard in boxing because, as we know, in boxing, styles make fights, and anything can really happen in that ring. And lots of crazy stuff always happens in boxing.
Zach, curious to have your opinion on a Crawford Errol Spence matchup. What? How do you see that fight playing out, and who do you got on that one?
And how do you think it'd be handicapped in Vegas?
Man, I think the odds. I think Crawford would be a slight favorite. I have to see Spence return from his car accident. Just assuming he's the exact same, which I hope he is. Then I like Spence in that fight. And I love the way he uses the jab. I think he has one of the best jabs in boxing. I love the way he goes to the body. And in my opinion, the Spence that we've seen, you know, assuming he's the same, is the best welterweight in the world. And but Crawford's an amazing fighter. Just so good. He can switch from southpaw to orthodox. He's so slick. He hasn't really even been tested. He's that good.
You know, with everything being, glove gate, a lot of stuff being talked about, you know, the Tyson-Fury-Wilder fight. I know you probably got wind of that stuff. You know, you say you kind of grew up around Manel Stewart, around the Crunk Gym, sort of, you know what I'm saying? Do you find yourself being maybe a little bit biased going into the third pick of this fight, or are you strictly, you know, sticking to business?
I also got to interview Sugar Hill Stewart. And we did an interview on my channel, so I know him well. And I wouldn't say biased, but if I am able to see a fighter, talk to their trainer before a fight, it does factor into my pick. I've gotten to see some fighters in their training camp before a fight, and I think that's fair game. I think that's something you can use to pick. You know, if a fighter's looking great in training camp, you talk to their trainers, and you think they have a great game plan, then I think it's all fair game for you to handicap that match and pick them.
So do you have Tyson Fury going into this third bout?
100%. Yeah.
Same type of situation?
Maybe quicker.
Oh.
Maybe quicker, yeah.
All right.
I don't see Wilder making an adjustment. I haven't seen it yet.
All right.
That is fair to say. Dillian White Povetkin got announced yesterday officially. It's going to be happening in Eddie's fight camp garden at the headquarters. What do you think about that main event?
I love that fight. Dillian White, man, I think he's underrated. And I really hope he comes in that fight in great shape. His last fight just wasn't in good shape, in my opinion, at Saudi Arabia on that Joshua Ruiz card. But if Dillian White's in shape, man, his left hook is probably the best in boxing. He's legitimately a top five heavyweight, in my opinion.
Whoa. Better than Canelo's left hook?
That's a good point, champ. It's up there.
Maybe for the heavyweights, right?
The heavyweights, yeah.
Nah, he's definitely got a beautiful hook for a heavyweight. I mean, he's been really showcasing it. You know, whoever has another decent one, I guess you could put Wilder up there because of the Malik Scott knockout and a Fury 12th round knockdown. It was with the left hook. So, you know, those are kind of historic fights. But, yeah.
Yeah, man. White, yeah, if he comes into the fight in shape, I've got him. Povetkin isn't quite what he used to be. He's still a great fighter, though.
Go ahead, Ness.
Yeah, I'm just curious to keep checking that resume. Tanahara versus – who was it that he just fought for that title? Did you see that fight or no? Mario, help me. Your guy, you picked Tanahara.
Oh, you're talking about Joshua Franco.
Joshua Franco. Why I keep saying Tanahara today? That was
in the Maloney fight, Andrew Maloney.
Yes. How'd you pick that? Oh, you didn't see that one?
No.
Top Rank? Okay. Yeah, that boxing just came back. That was one of the fights that happened in the Las Vegas bubble on Top Rank. It was, a pretty, I guess, touted Australian got a fight versus a Golden Boy fighter, but it ended up
being a good scrap. The Shakur Stevenson fight, and I watched the Burchell fight, but that's all I've watched.
What do you think? Well, so if you saw those, one thing they've been talking about a lot lately is guys that have gone in and put a lot of money on favorites, like $100,000 to win like four stacks. What do you think about that? Like, is that something that you could do, like, if you got that money? But is that a really good strategy? Yeah, thank you, Ness.
I think the best strategy is to do parlays, and that's what I Pick Wins is really all about. I might pick five favorites in a week, but if you put it all together, you might triple your money. And even in my first 3 weeks, I went 15-0 across MMA, tennis, NFL, and boxing. And if you put $1,000 on the first week, and you got that money, you put it on the second week, and you got that money, you put it on the third week, you would have came away with over $120,000. And I think that's the benefit of doing a parlay. Even though it was favored besides the tennis, you can do that type of thing if you're putting multiple fights together.
Yeah. That's what we always try to do, you know, is work within those parlays. But it sucks when that one just messes you up.
Hey, Zach, I just been told by our producer – that you were on record. Ooh, I'm looking for my sound bite.
You better not duck me, son. You better not duck me, son.
Yo, you picked against my boy Thurman. Okay, you was right, but you picked against Thurman versus Pat?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I picked Pacquiao on that fight.
I went with my heart, man. I love Thurman. Like you said, I've been to so many of his camps, and I just thought he was going to come back. That little, he made me mad. I thought I really didn't expect him. He did better than anybody, in my opinion, other than people that actually beat Pacquiao.
Yeah. Man, that was a great fight.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that fight. But when Pacquiao got that knockdown in the first round, I believe,
surprised all of us.
Surprised.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, 18 years old, right? When did you actually start the company? And, you know, what exactly is iPickWins.com? And why should people go there? And what can they get from going to your website?
So, I launched at iPickWins on Instagram and iPickWins in September of 2019, this week one of the NFL season. And there you can get predictions from the world's best sports handicapper. And things really get cracking when NFL week one starts because I've got college football, NFL, the NBA a little bit later, boxing, MMA, everything shifted into high gear. And yeah, it's a really exciting time. And I was able to go 21-0 in my college football predictions, which is unheard of. And yeah, I'm still doing my picks. It's tough with the top-ranked boxing. There's been so many just gigantic favorites in the main event, so it's kind of weird for me to pick that necessarily. But the MMA is fully back, and they've got some great championship matchups. And like you said, we've got Linares and Fortuna and White and Povetkin, so it seems like boxing is going to be coming back real soon.
I know you said that you called certain fights in terms of like stoppage and stuff like that, but when it comes to officially like betting money or like putting things down on a parlay, is it really that smart to go that route? And like if you're getting money on like a, you know, 1-3 stoppage or is it just better to pick the winners if you can?
I you know, if you're really confident in your ability to pick out a style that works against another fighter, then I say go for the knockout, you know?
Nice.
A lot of guys are just really bad matches for fighters, a southpaw, and he's fighting a pressure fighter who's a southpaw with heavy hands, and all by all means, pick him by knockout. You know, in boxing, we see a lot of guys, especially guys that have watched the sport for a long time, just really have a key indication on how a fight's going to go, depending on things they've seen in the past and tendencies they've seen, and a lot of times they're absolutely correct.
Nice. Well, we have a few Patreon questions. These are questions from some of our most knowledgeable listeners. And so we'll go through that. I guess, Ness, you want me to do them?
Go for it, champ.
Okay. We got one from Roughhouse Boxing TV. He says, seeing as how you're only 18, have you other more seasoned handicappers thrown shade or hate?
Yeah, sometimes.
Really?
And they comment on my page, but I think I do a good job of just staying positive. And, you know, I where I really got the most hate was the Logan Paul KSI fight. Because I was in Logan Paul's training camp with Shannon and all those guys. And, man, KSI is for the biggest internet star there. They're rapid. They're crazy. They were commenting in the thousands for that fight.
Wait,
and,
but did you pick
really
Logan?
I did pick Logan, yeah. I still think Logan won that fight.
What?
I thought that was a phantom call to deduct the 2 points.
Yeah, that was...
Bro, Logan was...
True, those 2 points, yeah.
That was rough, but I like the way
the
KSI fought that fight.
But it was a foul, though. Like,
KSI wanted it more.
Yeah,
KSI wanted it more. And he proved that in the first fight, you know. He proved that in the first fight. I felt like he wanted it more in the first fight, you know. And he had more experience, man. I went with KSI, but that doesn't make me better than you. Obviously, you've been picking better than me.
Yeah, looked fantastic in camp, and I was there for his sparring, everything. He was training so hard. He was training for 4 hours a day. He was going for night runs. He was working with Shannon Briggs. But on the night of the fight, yeah, it seems like KSI wanted more from the opening bell. But I thought Logan was still the better boxer. He was able to run rounds 4, 5, and 6. And without that 2-point deduction, you know, he wins that fight.
I'll say this. He took it way more serious than I thought he would, because I don't watch Logan Paul, you know, videos, but I have a niece. So obviously I knew who he was for years, you know, leading up. And I thought it was going to be like a joke thing for him. I know he's in the gym. I know he's in pretty good shape, but to see how hard he actually trained, he took this way more serious. So that's the credit I do give him, that, yo, man, he really worked.
He trained like a pro boxer.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Listen,
definitely.
Zach, do you think he makes the comeback? Because, you know, there's some big fights I'd like to see him in. You know, I actually said after watching him in that fight, you know, what I felt happened was he gassed, obviously, but he has a very decent jab that, I mean, he just makes too much money outside of boxing. But I think if he, you know, properly developed, that dude could be something.
What are the fights you'd like to see?
Well,
Teofimo Lopez versus Lomachenko. What do you think?
No,
I didn't mean to help.
Oh, I thought you were saying.
I think he's talking. He's talking about Logan, and secondly, if people in the chat want to ask the question, they got to go to Patreon. So yeah, you mean with Logan, or you mean in general?
It was Logan.
Yeah, with Logan, I wanted to see, what was it, the Antonio Brown, the football guy?
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't mind that.
Oh yeah, Antonio Brown. That would be dope.
I wouldn't mind that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Who else? There was something else out
there.
That'd
be a crazy buildup.
What was another one that was rumored to, you know, possibly for Logan? He called someone else out.
Bro, there's a lot of YouTubers. I mean, like,
no,
I know
no,
he's,
no,
like,
no.
really
no, but
high
I'm not
in weight for
YouTubers.
Martin Bradley. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though, is there's a lot of guys out there that are in really good shape that, you know, box regularly that would make those kind of numbers happen again.
No, what I'm saying is Logan is bigger than a YouTuber, even though he's a YouTuber. Like, he's been calling out true celebrities. So, you know, I don't think he needs to look backwards. Like, if he's going to fight another YouTuber, it's got to be KSI. It can't be another YouTuber. Like, he can't go fight, I don't know, Diggy or something. I don't even know the dude's name. You know
somebody.
What I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
But I think, I don't mind that. You know, a lower-level opponent who's a YouTuber. I think Logan wants to prove himself as a boxer, wants to prove that he's really capable of, you know, showing his full capability. And when I talked to him after the fight, he really didn't feel like he showed what he had been working on in camp. He didn't feel like it was his best performance in that second KSI fight. And we saw right afterwards his brother Jake, when he got that first round KO against a lesser known guy. Now that sets up a mega fight with KSI. So when you take a lower fight against another huge star.
The thing is this, right? Like, this is we only do boxing. I know you do everything else. So for me, right, if he says, you know, he wants to show that he can really box, go fight a real pro boxer, not a named guy. The same type of guys Top Rank is putting Burchell in with. You know what I mean? That level. Why? Because that's a real fighter. You'll get more respect beating up a real fighter versus a YouTuber asking us to respect you as a fighter. Like, if you really want to show your skills, fight the same dude Burchell for it. I don't care, but at least that's a pro fighter. You know, he might still be a delivery guy during the weekends or weekdays for that matter, but he's still a pro fighter. And you're Logan Paul. Like, you don't really need a B-side. You're the A, B, C, Z side. Like, you bring in the fandom yourself. If the promotion was built around Logan is taking this seriously, he's fighting a real pro boxer, his own fans would be like, oh my God, this is not a game anymore. You know, like, he's not fighting KSI, who's learning too. He's fighting a real boxer, you know. And believe me, matchmaking, we all see matchmaking. We can't get Logan to be 15-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could. Good call.
I think that dude a world champ.
Yo, so moving on to the next question, we got it from Ryan O'Rourke. He says, are all the selections done by eye test only, or a lot of stats and number crunching involved in the selections?
Man, for football especially, there's a lot of stats and number crunching. I'm an analytics guy and almost everything. With boxing, though, it's kind of an eye test sport. I'm just being honest. A lot of it's from what I've seen. And it's harder to go really deep into the stats and analytics. So sometimes in boxing, you can tell a guy's having an off night.
Oh,
to
yeah, good point.
Make a pick, you have to watch their fights, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. Next one from Ruin the 504. He says, do you follow boxers' training camps for any info that may influence how you would handicap a fight? And you did kind of answer that already, but if there's anything else you want to throw in there.
Yeah, Andy Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua. I saw it's the second fight. I saw Andy Ruiz was so blown up. He was so huge for some reason. I'm like, there's no way he can win this fight. Joshua's going to beat him. Like, he's looks so huge for no reason at all. And we saw that.
Did you get to see any of his camp, or are you saying, like, just from what you saw in the media?
Just what I saw in the media, and I had heard some things from his camp, some people there, but he was just 295 pounds. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So next one coming from George Foster in the UK. He says, what do you think about all the excuses that have come from Wilder's camp and fans who claim Wilder was only knocked out because Fury had loaded gloves?
Man, that's some of the stupidest things I've ever heard, but it's okay. It sets up a third fight, and I think it gets people more invested that the second fight wasn't quite fair, and people want to see a third fight that's fair. You know, I
definitely.
Yeah, I think Fury definitely has a mental edge, though, over Wilder.
Mm, okay. We're moving on to Cisco Promotions. He says, if it wasn't for the pandemic, who would you have picked in Joyce versus Dubois for the original date? Was your prediction for that fight for the upcoming October date? Oh, what is your prediction for that fight in the upcoming October date?
Man, that's an interesting fight between those two English guys. Man, I know that fight's going to do huge numbers over there in England. I know they're going to really show out for that fight. And I don't necessarily have a pick right now. I've liked what I've seen from Dubois, and I wish Joyce would kind of get in a little better shape. Mm. And he doesn't have the fastest hands, so it's a little bit hard for me to go with him. But I just haven't seen as much natural talent from Joyce as I have seen from other heavyweights.
Got you. Okay. Next one from Big Casual. He says, do you think AJ avoided Wilder before Fury came back to boxing? And who would you pick to win if Wilder versus AJ was to ever happen?
Absolutely not. I don't think AJ sucked anyone. In my opinion, I think he takes on the best guys he can. I saw him fight Povetkin, who not a lot of people like to fight. I saw him fight Klitschko when he was a very young guy. I saw him fight Dillian White. I don't think he gets enough credit for his ability to go up against the best guys. And I don't think he was ever ducking Wilder. I think he'll fight anybody, anywhere. I think he'll fight Wilder or Fury gladly. And in that fight between Wilder, I've got Joshua. I think he'll push Wilder back. But Wilder has that right hand, man. It's really tough to pick.
You think he wins distance? I mean, do you think it goes the distance?
Man, if we see that Joshua we saw in the last fight, then I would have to say it's going to go the distance. But if we see the past Joshua, I think he's gunning for a knockout. You know, it's really tough